What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, June 10th, where the Florida Panthers, and let me say it's 2025, because what I'm about to say, you could essentially think, hey, it's 2024, but it's not. It's June 10th, 2025, and the Florida Panthers are two wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. And let me timestamp this once again. They are two wins away from winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. I was in the building last night in Sunrise. What a beatdown. I don't think any of us expected that game to go the way it did. And I'm not even talking about the beatdown with the fighting part. I'm talking about 6-1. Even before 6-1, 5-1, before 5-1, 4-1, the way that game went, especially after seeing those first two, who would have ever thought we would have had a performance like that last night? Now, after the Panthers start pouring it on, maybe you start to think, okay, Edmonton's going to start going after all of the guys, and that's the only thing they could try to really compete with, because on the ice, Bob against Skinner, the Florida Panthers' depth against the Oilers' depth, forget about it. Every single aspect of that game last night, the Florida Panthers dominated. If you want to say, okay, well, Edmonton was a little tougher in some of the fighting, say whatever you want. I really don't care. Because you know what? That doesn't count. We're not counting penalty minutes here. We're not counting minors and majors and misconducts. We're not counting fines. A $5,000 fine, like really, whatever. It doesn't matter. The Florida Panthers won the game 6-1. They're up 2-1 in the series. And like I said, they're two wins away from winning the Stanley Cup yet again. So there I was at the Emerant Bank Arena last night. I got there early because remember I'm putting in air quotes, working. What does working mean at a hockey game? It means I don't go dressed as a Panthers fan. I don't wear my Panthers jackets. I'm not wearing Panthers red. I'm actually going in a working capacity. I'm in the press box, which is not the best seat in the house, but you do get to see everything, that's for sure. I've got my laptop in front of me, so I'm doing things on my computer. My phone is going crazy with friends messaging me like I'm doing nothing at all, like I'm not at the game, like I'm only supposed to be talking to them, and they're the only ones who are messaging me, and it's some like private conversation, which is definitely not. Getting like 15 messages after every goal. But whatever, I just start ignoring that stuff because I hate it when my phone blows up. It's just too much. People are into that. Like an entire game, they're writing to their friends, play-by-play and all that. No, I'm at the game. If you're at the game, who wants to be doing that? If you're on your couch, it's another thing. I'm in the building. The last thing I want to do, no matter how much I like you, the last thing I want to do is start hearing your commentary and for you to ask me mine when I'm there at the game. It doesn't matter if I'm in a seat or in the press box. I'm at the game. When you go to a game, enjoy the game. Whatever you're doing at the game, enjoy the game. So I was trying to enjoy the game last night, and goal after goal, it was getting even more enjoyable, but in a working capacity, of course. So in the press box, even in 2025, there's no cheering. So even though you have a lot of local media who are all rooting for the Florida Panthers to win, they're not allowed to express themselves in any way. You just have to sit there. And again, this is like an ancient rule. It doesn't make any sense anymore at all because times have definitely changed. Maybe one of these days that rule will be a little bit different, but not yet. So you sit in the press box and you got to act all professional, Like, you have no blood in you. You got no veins. You're not allowed to be excited. You're not allowed to comment on much at all. And there you go. You sit, you watch the game, and you're supposed to write about it. I mean, I was writing some tweets, some emails, a few text messages, but that's about it. But anyhow, that's what work was last night for me, watching Stanley Cup Final Game 3 in the press box. Now we wait until Thursday. And as I was saying on yesterday's show, as a Panthers fan, how much better is it now that they have a 2-1 lead and you're waiting until Thursday night? You got the rest of the day today. You had all this morning. You got all day tomorrow. And you pretty much have all day Thursday. So this is a long time. It's almost 3 full days where you're sitting here. Okay, I'm waiting for the next game, but you have a 2-1 lead. Imagine not only just being an Edmonton fan, but an Oilers player, somebody on the Oilers staff. Now you're waiting in South Florida for almost 3 full days. And you know when you hit that ice on Thursday night, it's not a must win. Everybody will say that. Oh, the Oilers must win. No, it's not a must win because if they lose, they're still in it. So that's not a must win. Very overused phrase, must win. But it's a game where you don't want to lose. You don't want to go down 3-1. Now, if the Panthers do lose Thursday night, okay, I mean, it's 2-2. They're still in a good spot. But it's nice to have that insurance. And that's what the Florida Panthers have right now. I really couldn't even get a gauge on this series. I don't think anybody could have made a prediction on this series after the first two games we saw. Now, people are going to have predictions. And you could say, all right, after what I just saw last night, Thursday, the Panthers are going to come out and they're going to whoop Edmonton. And then there's going to be a group that will say, Edmonton, they are going to be ready on Thursday night. They are going to give the Panthers their absolute best game because they know they got to go back to Edmonton with this series tied to 2. So now we're going to have some more solid predictions, but predictions don't mean anything. It's just what people think. I mean, I'm here to tell you what I think, and trust me, I have a lot of thoughts to go over with you, including just how being there last night, seeing the Panthers take a 2-1 series lead, knowing they're 2 wins away from hoisting yet another Stanley Cup, and walking in that building, thinking to myself, this is the 3rd straight year I've walked in that building, and everything's set up for the Stanley Cup final. This is becoming a thing. And I started to think how before the Panthers became this dynasty in the making, that's what it seems like, our in-state rivals, the Tampa Bay Lightning, we couldn't get past them, and they were the ones consistently doing well. And now it's on our side of the state, and hopefully that's where it stays for a long time. Because the Florida Panthers right now, they are the standard in the National Hockey League. I remember hearing comments from Rod Brind'Amour, the Carolina Hurricanes head coach, after the Panthers beat them in the Eastern Conference Final, and they had beat them 2 years ago as well. They swept them then. This time it was 5 games. He's like, hey, they're the standard. We got to get past them. I can't tell you how many times on this show over 17 years, I've talked about this, but with the Miami Dolphins, the standard, it was the New England Patriots. Now the standard in their division, it's the Buffalo Bills. Now the Dolphins haven't been the standard for a long, long, long time, and who knows when they'll be the standard, if ever again. But when you look at it in that view, when you think football-wise, which is what we're used to talking about here, and now you see the Florida Panthers are what we would think of New England, what we think of Buffalo, but in hockey, it's the Panthers. It just, I think for a lot of people, it makes it feel even better. It makes it feel more like real when you put something in a bigger term. Because hockey, I've always been into hockey, but hockey in South Florida, it hasn't been huge. More recently, yes. But for 20 years, I mean, it wasn't big. Like when I was talking to Will Mansell yesterday when he came on, that was part of the conversation. How now it's almost getting to mainstream in South Florida. It wasn't for a long time. The mainstream thing is, and was, and still is, football. So if you look at the standard, the Patriots and the Bills, and now you talk about the Florida Panthers being the standard, it kind of puts it into a little bit of a better perspective for some. I mean, I can totally understand it without the football example, but for some of you, you're new to hockey, and that's fine. You know, there's sports out there, there's activities out there that you were never into, and now it's become a thing. You realize, hey, this is really cool, the team is doing well, and you become a fan. You jump on that bandwagon. The bandwagon, it opens from time to time, and when it opened for the Florida Panthers, a lot of people jumped on it. No problem. The only problem is I have a lot of things to say, and I don't have a whole lot of time to do it. Plus, Uncle Luke's going to join us for a lengthy convo. So I got to get to stuff, even though it's only like 11 or 12 minutes into the hour. I got to get going. So see you guys later. No, I'm just kidding. I got to get going on with the show, everything that I got prepared. But I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I think it's fair to say last night the Panthers dismantled the Oilers. That was as thorough of a butt-kicking as you're going to see in all of professional sports. This isn't a regular season game. It's not just a playoff game. This is the championship round. This is the Stanley Cup final, and the Panthers kicked their butt. Not only because they won 6-1, which in hockey terms, that's definitely a big result, but the reason it was so dominant, it's that the Panthers dismantled everything about Edmonton. This is a team, the Oilers, who came to town, and they were desperate to prove that back on the same ice where they lost the Stanley Cup final in Game 7 last season, that they are back and they're going to take care of business and this is their chance. And what happened? They went on the ice and the Panthers took their lunch money. The first period, that was a mess. A lot of penalties. I know the Panthers had a lead and they got that lead quickly, but there were a ton of penalties, both teams. Brad Marchand got that first goal and I'm thinking to myself, geez, I wish I took him at 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe because he's got a shot. The Panthers, they wind up going up 2-0. And Edmonton, they're on the power play to start the second period. And they come out and they score. And you had to start thinking, okay, all right. I mean, kept them off the board long enough. Their power play, it's lethal. It's 2-1 now. All right, let's hold on. But then the next thing you know, Sam Reinhart finally gets on the board. I guess it was only a matter of time. Maybe he's still hurting, but he makes it a 3-1 game. And then Sam Bennett, what a feed, a breakaway. The game, it just completely gets out of hand. The Florida Panthers, they had so many plays last night that looked beautiful. Perfect passing on the Ekblad goal. The next thing you know, it's 5-1 Florida. Edmonton pulls Stuart Skinner. I don't know what they're going to wind up doing for game 4. Edmonton was done, and they knew they were done, at least in game 3. So the only thing that they could possibly win at in game 3, not the final score, but they're like, okay, we're just going to start jumping the Florida Panthers. And the next thing you know, everybody's fighting. I wouldn't even say that brawl or several brawls went Edmonton's way. It was a coordinated attack. They just jumped the Florida Panthers, and I guess they're just trying to show, hey, we still got some fight in us. We're not going to take this lying down. I can only imagine their frustration. Here's a franchise with a rich history, a very storied team. They come from a country in Canada that loves the sport more than any place. They have the best player on the planet. The Edmonton Oilers are a really good hockey team. And yet, here's this other team in the United States of America, in South Florida, where it's hot as heck. They play across the street from Sawgrass Mills Mall, and they got whooped. The Edmonton Oilers spent all offseason to be more mentally prepared, stronger, deeper. And it's like, here we go again. What it looked like to me being in that building, it looked like the Oilers' dreams were just being ripped out of them. And you could tell they saw the seeds of last year, them losing, happening again. Now, I know that they were down 3-0 in the series last year and they came back. And you could say, hey, they've been there before. But this was supposed to be, remember, revenge, the rematch. Edmonton's coming after them. Well, how did last night look to you? Now, speaking of coming after somebody, I'm going to be coming after you at the poker table. We are 2 weeks away from the next Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. 2 weeks from today, that's Tuesday night, June 24th, $50,000 minimum in the prize pool, and it's only $250 to buy in. The last time we had a 50K guarantee, I want to say there was like $85,000 or $87,000 that wound up being in that prize pool. You do not want to miss my next poker tournament. We've got it every month, 2 weeks away, Tuesday night, June 24th. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. If you can't get there by 6, it's okay. You got until 9:30 p.m. that night to register. $50,000 minimum in the prize pool. $250 buys you in. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, Tuesday night, June 24th at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I heard what Matthew Tkachuk had to say after the game. The Panthers, they were discussing how if you've got to take a punch, take a punch. Don't let the Edmonton Oilers get you into a situation where you're going to start to lose composure. You don't want to give them any type of advantage because you got to just focus on the bigger prize. And you got that bigger prize. You got the biggest prize last season. You know what it takes to get it again. And don't let them get you thinking about anything else. Because once that game is over, once it's 5-1 and 6-1, why give them anything to think in their mind like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to take this guy out. We're gonna have him try to retaliate. No, just, you know what? Take the punch. And to their credit, when we saw the five-man brawl, which in person was incredible to see, the Panthers were composed. Nothing really happened beyond some hockey fighting. You got penalties. You got 10-minute misconducts. Trust me, Edmonton, they were looking for a lot more than that. These Panthers players, they're veterans. They're very smart individuals. They know what it takes to win a championship. And the guy on the bench, Paul Maurice, people had different thoughts about him, including myself, when he first got hired. Remember, everything was going well with this organization, and then they had to bring in Paul Maurice. Things didn't start off all that great. Look where they are now. And when you hear him speak, I mean, this dude is so smart. He knows how to act. He knows how to play like a certain personality when he's on camera, when he's talking to the media. During the game, he's asked about Sam Bennett. First, he says a lot of nice things. But then she mentions, well, the big contract, the agent. Because once the season's over, the dude's going to get paid. And Paul Maurice is like, yeah, but you know what? He's really a terrible guy. He's got, like, diseases, and you don't want to be near him. He's just – Paul Maurice is such a great coach, completely different than what I was talking about 3 or 4 years ago. He's just amazing. He's such a good coach for these players. And the way he speaks, you could look at the Miami Dolphins. Look at Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel, he was funny when the Miami Dolphins were doing well, when they were putting up 200 points against Denver. But when your team is 6-6, the jokes, they don't land the same. If a team is winning and you're doing well and you're actually winning playoff games and you're on the cusp of a championship, everybody takes more time to enjoy your sense of humor. I'm not making the rules here. That's just the reality. Now, what advice could be out there for the Edmonton Oilers? What advice is their head coach going to be giving them? What are they saying in Edmonton right now? I can only imagine. I got many more things to say. Plus, Uncle Luke, he's going to give us his breakdown in just a few moments. I have been breaking down what I have been doing with my wagers and my close friends on Instagram. Oh, they are really happy. They were happy last night. They were even happy this morning, and hopefully they're going to be happy again today. If you want to be a close friend of mine on IG, head on over to my Instagram. Just search Andy Slater. Send me a DM. Say, hey, give me the details on how I could be a close friend, and then I will send you a message back. I don't take a long time to send my DM responses, so you'll probably get one a little bit later today. If you want to see everything going on, all my exclusive content on IG, just search Andy Slater. Tell me you want to become a close friend, and I'll tell you how to sign up. What advice are the Edmonton Oilers going to be getting, as they had all day today, and they had last night after the game? They got all day tomorrow, and they got pretty much all day Thursday to get ready for that game tomorrow night. You got Connor McDavid. You got Leon Draisaitl. I know last night was tough for them. It was tough for all of Edmonton to watch that, all of their fans, the entire organization. But what do you do? I mean, do you lock yourself in your hotel room? Do you just sit there and you go through video for almost 3 full days? Or because you're in South Florida and you don't play again until Thursday night. And I know the weather has been spotty. It's been off and on, not the absolute best weather right now, but it's still hot. No matter if it's raining or not, it's hot. Do you take advantage of sitting out on the beach when you possibly can? Do you go by the pool? Do you maybe have a few cocktails? Maybe enjoy the nightlife a little bit? Maybe hang out with some South Floridians? Girls, 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 girls. We're talking about professional athletes. You know, professional athletes get VIP treatments, so maybe they want to enjoy some of it. You got all tonight, Tuesday. You got all day tomorrow. Thursday's game day. Maybe you lock it in then. Blow off some steam somehow. When I saw this schedule come out, and I saw, and I knew there was going to have to be a period where there would be an extra day off, I thought to myself, you know what? This will benefit whatever team is up in this series going into Game 4. The Florida Panthers, they're used to chilling in South Florida. This is where the players live. But for the Oilers, this is a completely different dynamic. And if you just sit in your hotel room, if you're just chilling in the lobby, if you're not doing something where you're going to be able to relax, and we're talking about basically 2.5 days, you're just going to drive yourself nuts. And then you're probably going to be so tense when you get on that ice, you're going to have overthought everything. So while the Oilers don't have to go ultimately, like, fully in one direction where you're going to go out to all these clubs and party, they're not going to do that. But to some extent, you got to let loose. You got to just live life and be yourself, because whatever they were doing before game three, the Panthers, they were doing it better. The Panthers were doing it better before the game. The Panthers were doing it better during the game. And the Panthers are probably still doing it better after the game. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell, he knows all about what to do in South Florida when it comes to visiting teams. I'll get his take next. Here on this Tuesday, Uncle Luke Luther Campbell, it is a Luke Tuesday. Luke, what a game last night. What a life you've been living over the past, well, I don't know how many years, but lately you get your own street, Luther Campbell Way in Liberty City. You got your son all over social media playing baseball, doing well. You're performing, you're doing shows, concerts, you're going everywhere. You're coaching football. Is there anything that I forgot to mention?
No, you pretty much summed it all up.
I left off the strip club part. I don't know if you've been to any of those lately.
I don't drink anymore. I haven't had a drink in like the last 4 months.
Really?
So, I mean, I really don't have the desire. No, I lost like 25 pounds. You see me, you might don't know.
Oh, I didn't know you stopped drinking. I mean, you weren't a big drinker, but what made you do that?
I wanted to be more healthy, and I wanted to lose weight. I needed to lose some weight, so I'm down about 25. And you know, and when I hop in the bed with the girls, I don't like cramping up and all that.
I knew there was a real reason for it.
Boy, man, the performance, let me tell you, when you're in shape, your performance in bed is awesome. And I encourage any men, I mean, you know, don't get them performance enhancement drugs. Just go out there and just eat right, live healthy, exercise, cardio. And so when you got to perform for women, you putting them to sleep.
Well, you're also performing on stage yourself, aren't you? Still doing shows. I mean, it's not just in a bedroom.
No, shows too. I mean, when you walk, people don't realize how difficult it is to perform on stage. I mean, you got them lights. The lights are about 130 degrees, and the stage is 40 by 40. So you got to work the whole daggone stage, you know, and you got to be in shape for that.
So, Luke, I got a text message from you last night saying the boycott is over. You're back watching the Florida Panthers. They're up 2-1 against Edmonton. I need Uncle Luke's breakdown of what happened last night.
Well, we were more physical than them. We were beating them to the punch. They were on the receiving end, and we were on the delivery end, and every moment we were ahead of them. I mean, we were quick to beat them up, and we did a great acting job. I mean, let's keep it a buck. We were in the penalty box about 6 minutes, almost 6 minutes straight, and they couldn't score. I mean, I think we went in the penalty one time before and they scored, but we went in the penalty back to back. That let you know that we were going to be aggressive last night, and that's what we were. We were aggressive. We won the game and the fight. We beat them to the punch. And I love when the Panthers just crash. When they crash the net, I mean, they get results every time. That's when I could tell they on their game, when they just be violent at the net. You know,
Luke, are you a – I know you've said before, I think, like you're a lover. You're not a fighter. Channel 10, they interviewed a 9-year-old girl, and she said her favorite part of the game is the fighting. What do you think about fighting in hockey and all those fights that took place yesterday? Are you a fan?
I'm a fan of fighting. But I think that was a little too much fighting going on. But then again, I mean, because it lasted a long time. Well, everybody was fighting. Normally, you had the enforcers. You know, those two guys go out there mix it up a little bit. You know, it's part of hockey, you love it, but that was, everybody was fighting. That was a big brawl. And I don't know whether that was, I saw them do that, the little girl. They asked her earlier. And then I saw the little girl after the game was over. If that's what she's entertained by, and a lot of other people are entertained by, it's good. It's a good thing.
Does that mean maybe it shouldn't be so like illegal to do it in football and basketball and baseball? I mean, maybe other leagues should start catching on instead of handing out suspensions, Luke?
I think football should allow fights. I think
To
basketball should allow fights. Basketball was exciting when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hit Larry Bird in the mouth, you know, and Detroit Pistons were physical like that. I mean, Detroit got a little physical this year. You've seen a little more physicality added into basketball now, but you don't see enough fights. There's too many guys grabbing their crotch. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of that going on. I'm like, what is that all about? But you're still dealing with a new generation of young people. They ain't used to fighting, man. They used to, you know, doing other things, you know.
Some
They're not used to.
people, Luke, might think like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, Andy, you really like, are you serious right now? But the way you just described it, and the way we saw it last night, the NBA Finals or any NBA game, Luke, if you have two guys that just start fighting and all right, they get separated and they can't play for like 5 or 10 minutes, don't you think that would be a lot cooler? More people would watch?
Listen, Draymond Green is the most physical fighting, slapping people in the mouth guy on the court. And he's one of the most popular guys. Think about that. This dude is doing commercials and he's been suspended more than anybody in the NBA. I mean, that's Jimmy Butler is the biggest diva, soft diva, crying like a little girl. And he has commercials. Then you have the young from Minnesota. You know, he pays all of his child support for 18 years. You know, the villain is still the guy who you want. That's why baseball suffers, because they don't. There's no villains in baseball. You know, remember back in the days when Nolan Ryan, you love to go see Nolan Ryan play. Because you know Nolan Ryan gonna hit somebody with the ball and go say, "I dare you to come to this line, I'll beat you down." Not that no more. I mean, you know, fisticuffs, mix it up. Everybody in a love fest, Andy. Everybody
I'm
train
with you.
together.
I'm with you. I mean, like, how can it be okay in a professional sport in hockey, but it's not okay in other sports and people love it? I mean, the 9-year-old
You
girl
see,
loves it. Maybe more
you
9-year-old girls would watch the
exactly.
WNBA.
Listen, you see the football players, they've been doing this thing where the football players go to the hockey match and look at it and they mic them up. I mean, they're excited. Oh man, oh man. And they hit them, run them to the wall, boom, ran them into, you know, like real hits, like blindside hit. I mean, we blind, man, we blindsided one guy last night. I felt sorry for him. I just knew his mother was cringing watching that. I mean, that's what we don't do no blind. You blindside somebody or crack back somebody in the NFL, you'll get thrown out, you'll get banned from the sport.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a
the
little
guys ain't
ridiculous
lasting.
when you
They're
think
not
about it.
lasting but 3 years. They got the sport designed to last, but it's no physicality in it. It's no toughness. It's all soft. You know, and it's the same thing with basketball. You know, back in the days in the playoffs, you go to that hoop, you're going to end up in the second row behind. You know what I'm saying? You
Yeah.
go in the playoffs, you're going to get hit. And you know you were going to get hit. Now, man, guys go do layups and nothing happened. You get thrown clean out the league. Oh, you too many. You got three too many techs, and now you gotta be suspended for a game. That's ridiculous.
Uncle Luke Luther Campbell with us here on the Andy Slater Show on a Luke Tuesday. So, Luke, after that game last night, now the Panthers are up 2-1. Two more days here in South Florida for Edmonton to just hang out. I don't know what they're going to do. But are you feeling, Uncle Luke, like South Florida is going to have another Stanley Cup, maybe in the Atlantic Ocean or somewhere on A1A?
Let me tell you, we're in the best position. I said we was in the best position because we didn't have home. We didn't have the home ice. We were able to go to Edmonton and sit there for a few days. Because I remember you last year telling me they had to go and stop in between going to Edmonton and rest their legs somewhere in Dallas or something like that. So I was like happy we didn't have home ice. We can go there, chill, got two games. All we need to do is get one game out of the two, and then come back home in the conference of our home. Put the pressure on them. So now this game, yeah, this is going to be a crucial game because they should be nice and, you know, they should have their legs. But this is where the community comes in at.
I love this part.
Like Tootsies, Cheetah, they supposed to have them. They supposed to have them dudes from Edmonton exposing them to that part. I mean, booby trap all night long. They should be partying their tail off. Somebody should be like, yo, come on over here. I mean, you need to come party. Our people at the hotels need to be like, you need to go over here because one thing that's undefeated is women. They are undefeated. And all the stuff that they had to work with here in Miami, the boys shouldn't have no legs coming into the next game.
So, Luke, are you saying that, I guess maybe owners of bars or just women who are on their own should be heading over to the team hotel and just hanging out and like distracting
them? Yeah, you need to do that. That's what I used to do. When I used to own a club, Luke's Miami Beach on Miami Beach, the opposing team that played against the Heat would come in a day early, and I would make sure the concierge at the hotel invite them over. I would send one of my promotional guys at my club. Hey, man, go to the hotel. We'll find out where the team hotel is. Okay, they're over there. And you see them dudes tell them, hey, man, Luke, drinks on me. I got all the drinks. And then I got the drinks. I got the girls. I'm sending them shots. I'm just sending them drinks. They're nice and lathered up. Hey, then the girls come and they stand at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. They ain't no girl. Only guy that I saw was able to do that all night, drink all night, like pass out at the bar was Allen Iverson. I don't know what he was built with, but he would go back, he would go in the game the next day and score and play 40 minutes and score 40.
Well, he had a lot of practice.
He ain't need no practice. that man built different. I mean, he built different. And, you know, most of the other guys can't answer the bell, but that's what they need to be doing. Somebody at the hotel need to be encouraging them to go to Tootsies, Cheetahs. And once they go up in there, and that thing with the women got, that thing undefeated.
Luke.
And keep them in there all night long.
But, Luke, people might think, all right, you know, sort of joking around a little bit. But in all seriousness, Edmonton got to South Florida on Saturday. The Oilers did. And they don't play again until Thursday night. Going from Edmonton to South Florida, I don't care how locked in you are and focused you are, how could you possibly be in South Florida from Saturday until Thursday night and not feel like a little different?
Of course they're going to feel different. Number one, the heat going in and out, your family, all their family down here, they want to do stuff. They ain't like going to garbage Edmonton. They ain't like going to Trailer Park, Gainesville. There's a lot of things going on here in South Florida. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. So I'm pretty sure their family want to do things and they want to keep them on their feet. You keep them on their feet. That's the key. Keep them on their feet. Keep them moving around. And when you're moving around in this heat and you're not used to it, that's different.
And then the Panthers just smack you in the face when you get on the ice. That was so awesome.
And the Panthers, but and see, and I'm pretty sure that's part of the Panthers' game plan. Hey, attack them. Stay in attack mode. You got some people on the road, not sleeping in their own bed. You know, they're not used to this weather. Go in attack mode. I wish they could open up the doors and let some of that heat come in there, but it'll melt the ice. Hey, them boys shouldn't have no legs. They should be nice and tight.
See, I love the Uncle Luke hockey breakdown. I mean, that's why you're here. You know, you break down so many things, including the Stanley Cup final. You're a great correspondent. Luke Luther Campbell.
Hey, man, they need to. I want to run the ball. I want to be the president, general manager of the Marlins, head of marketing, promotions. I need it. I'm sick of this. It's not good.
The who? I mean, come on. The Marlins. Who are they right now? The Marlins. But you got an allegiance to South Florida. I mean, you bring up the Marlins, so that's good. I mean, you're all about Miami. 305, Uncle Luke.
I need to save the franchise. I need to save the program. Well, I mean, I know they got horrible owners, you know, which we need to do that. But they, Jesus Christ, that's a disaster.
That'll be an episode in about 3 weeks from now after the Florida Panthers parade. Okay. Save it. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell, thank you for being with us on this Luke Tuesday, and I hope to see you very soon.
See you later, Andy.
All right, take care. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell. That's a good breakdown. My apologies if he was a little difficult to hear there for the connection. But, I mean, he was already going, and it wasn't horrible. It just wasn't the best, but I thought he had a pretty good breakdown. And when it comes to the fighting stuff, like, I know that's never going to happen. Basketball is not going to allow fights and football and baseball. But if you really think about it, yes, hockey's different. But still, for entertainment purposes, I mean, people watch boxing. People watch UFC. People were watching that last night. It's like the talk of everything, all the fights. We've had fights before in other sports, but obviously they get in big trouble. All right, that's all the time I got for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.